Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
Don't make me have to separate you two again. Damn it!
With the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports. The Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com.
Afternoon delight.
Never heard you say goodbye.
Hour number four on a Wednesday. Hope you're having a good one. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. And here is the Tom Herman meet and greet over at DKR, north end of the stadium, 45 days away from the first game with Maryland. And the coach is sitting right here with us, head coach Tom Herman. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Appreciate you having me.
No, thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much for the time.
We apologize. You've already had to take two or three selfies because of us over here. And I asked you before the interview, how many selfies? You look like you do this a lot. You said, no, it didn't take well. How many do you take a day?
It wasn't that. The guy actually turned it off. He didn't snap the deal. But, it depends on the setting, depends on the day. Probably something like this, I would imagine. 8 to 10, but on a normal day in the office, zero, so I think it averages out to maybe a couple a week.
Is it safe to say that you understand now, better now than you did last year, what it's like to be the head coach at the flagship state university of Texas?
Yeah, I think so. I'd like to think, having had this be my dream job, that and being a graduate assistant here during Mac Brown's early years, that I had a general idea, but there's always a learning curve. There's always things that come up, but especially to have Coach Brown to lean on and have as a sounding board, a mentor for counsel. I think that certainly eased the transition, and there weren't too many surprises.
Talking with Tom Herman here on the Horn. All right, let's get right into the softball questions. Let's talk play calling, because there's been a discussion the last couple of days. Okay, so I've heard multiple folks since the bowl game talk about the fact that you called plays in the bowl game. But then I realized, wait, I don't know if I've actually heard the coach say he called plays. Did you call plays in the bowl game?
I did.
The whole game?
The whole game.
Okay. So in terms of where that's headed, timetable-wise, when would you like to make that choice on who'll be calling offensive plays, and will we in the media and the fans out there, will we find out when you make that choice?
You probably won't know, but I'd like to kind of explain just like really very minor differences in how it was the entire season versus the bowl game. So I have always been, even at my time at Houston when Major was our offensive coordinator, in my time here, there is not one single call on offense that doesn't go through me. If I don't like the call, I can certainly say, no, don't call that, and let's call this. And then there's very, very many times where I'll say, hey, Tim, next first down, take a shot down the field. Or Tim, hey, we're not running the ball well inside, we got to get the ball in the perimeter. Or Tim, we're not protecting well, we got to get the quarterback on the move. Or Tim, next time on the goal line, they're packing the box, it's time for a naked. Or, so it's really the difference in Tim call inside zone versus me saying deuce right 44 zone. I mean, there's really not much difference because of how intimate my involvement is in the offense. So, again, we're splitting hairs a little bit. Did I actually say deuce right 44 zone in the bowl game? Yes. But
right.
In prior games, I would have said Tim run inside zone, or Tim we got to throw a post. The safety's creeping down low. We got to throw a post over his head. So there's a ton of involvement regardless of who's calling plays. I get that it's a hot topic around here. It has been for, it feels like forever. But the way that we run our offense is very collaborative. We feel like, again, even when I was the offense coordinator at Ohio State, that you win the game Sunday through Friday. You win the game by either game plan on Sundays and Mondays, your installation of that game plan in your practices, and then your players' ability to retain and execute that game plan. And I used to say all the time, I used to joke all the time, if I'm doing my job as the offensive coordinator, this is when I was at Ohio State, then I could step off the curb and get hit by a bus, the morning of the game, and any one of our assistants could call the game just like I would. And right. So it's I'm not quite sure why it's garnered so much attention, we're going to do whatever is helps us win and helps us move the ball. But I think the development of our players, the development of our offense through the course of this offseason is going to play a much, much bigger role than Hussein deuce right 44 zone.
Gotcha.
When you are saying deuce right 44 zone, though, how big a difference, there's been some talk about this, is calling the plays from the sideline versus calling it from the booth? Do you notice a huge one?
I thought I would, but it wasn't. There was not an issue. As long as you're getting good information from the press box,
right.
Which I did in the bowl game from Tim Beck and the guys up there, then it's if you trust, you're getting good information, you trust that information, then there's, again, it's collaborative.
You're right, exactly. And as long as you trust those eyes up there, I've heard coaches say that before, if you're a good play caller, which you are, you can do both. How does Herb Hand enter the equation? Now, what have you seen from him so far as the offensive line coach, and how will he help with the game plan and scheming of this run game?
Well, he's been a great fit. We've seen development from our offensive line. Obviously, the cards that we were dealt last year in terms of injuries, and so we're starting a true freshman right tackle. Or we lose our best run blocking tight end in Andrew Beck. We lose our best run blocking offensive lineman in Elijah Rodriguez, and then we lose our best overall lineman Connor Williams for most of the season. And I think we had 8 or 9 different starting lineups. We started guys on the offensive line that hadn't even played in a game for Texas, let alone start a game for Texas. And so, that's not a recipe, regardless of who's coaching the offensive line. But Herb Hand has done wonders. He's provided some ideas, some different ways of doing things from places that he's been. He'll be an equal part. We're all involved in the game planning. There's no, I know there's some staffs that, the offensive coordinator goes and sits in his office for a whole day or two and then goes and hands out a game plan, goes to position to position. We don't. We sit in the room Sunday night and then all day Monday from 7 a.m. till midnight, and we watch video and we talk, and we collaborate, and we throw out ideas, we bounce ideas off of each other, so that, again, everybody is very familiar with all facets of the game plan.
Talking with Tom Herman here on the Horn, a quarterback question here about Shane. I enjoyed your orchestra analogy at the Big 12 Media Days. My question is, can you, in trying to teach the vocal leadership part, because you want him to be vocal, not because you want it, because it needs to happen. So do you have experience from your time in football of where that third string violin can actually become the leader of the orchestra? Have you watched that happen?
Oh, yeah. Braxton Miller was that way. Braxton Miller was he's a great leader but by example, but really didn't speak a lot, wasn't very vocal. And he came out of his shell throughout the course of his tenure when I was there with him, and it improved his game. And again, when I say that, it's not just talking. It's not just rah-rah. It was audibling and giving a wide receiver a sly little change of a route or change in a protection because the blitz is coming from here or there, rather than just get the play, here's the play, snap the ball. That's not, a quarterback's got a lot more to do than just play the song, right?
Yeah. Right.
He's got to orchestrate the song.
Yeah. Okay.
Has it slowed down for Sam?
Yeah. He made some throws this spring. One, in his release and the velocity on the football was well ahead of where I had ever seen it. But he also threw with much greater anticipation and confidence. So I think the game has slowed down.
In terms of, I wanted to ask you about Jason Washington and his effect on not only the football team, but those relationships. Because the more stories we hear from the recruiting trail, it seems like every other guy that he's involved with, I hear, well, it was that relationship with Jason Washington that was so important. Just talk about how important you feel like he's been, and maybe some examples where you're thinking, wow, this guy really is that good.
Yeah, well, our mantra, or our three qualifications, if you will, for an assistant coach is one, bring in quality student athletes to the University of Texas. So that means recruit, 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 recruit. Number two is develop your unit and make those players better at their specific position. And then a very distant third is scheme, is, you know, provide some input into either the game plan or some new ideas. But that's, again, there's an old saying in football. It's not the X's and O's. It's the Jimmys and Joes.
Yeah.
So you got to recruit great players, and you got to develop them. And there isn't a better corners coach in America. I mean, I think he's got eight players in the NFL right now that were zero or two-star players coming out of high school. I mean, so he's an unbelievable developer of talent. But he's also a phenomenal recruiter, and he does it because he's real. He talks to these kids more. He's never quite selling. He's always relating, and there's a big difference. You know, he's getting to know these kids. He's getting to know their families, their parents, their girlfriends, their coaches, and just, hey, this is who we are. And if you want to come here and be a part of it, great. If not, if this isn't your cup of tea, then I have shown you all there is to see about me and about our staff and about the University of Texas and our program. And if you choose someplace else, so be it. But the relationship part, he can relate to so many different kinds of young men. Hmm.
Defensively, I think about what Coach Orlando did last year, and after that first game, I think there were a lot of us thinking, uh-oh, is this not the real deal? He's the real deal. The defense was the real deal. How much more comfortable are the guys coming into year two, just understanding his language, his verbiage, and then being able to add to that?
I don't think you'll see a whole lot of addition, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I think, you know, we're going to play to the strengths of the personnel. We're going to make sure that we get the best 11 guys on the field somehow, some way. But it's amazed me. When I hired him, my first staff at Houston, he was the only one of the nine assistants that I didn't know or had worked with before. But I went out and I said, okay, who's a guy that is multiple bases out of an odd front but can, you know, slide into a four-man front, can bring pressure everywhere? And I studied a bunch of different guys, and he was it. And when we first started talking about installation, it amazed me how much defense he can get put in a short period of time. I mean, we carry more defense than most places in America, and you know, and we only, it's not the NFL. We only get them for 20 hours a week too. And so, but he's got an uncanny way of teaching it, of grouping it together so that it makes sense to our players, and you know, we couldn't be prouder to have him.
Staying on the defensive side, we've had the pleasure of having Charles Omenihu as our summer intern. He's working with us a couple days a week, and I've been a big fan of Charles's ever since. When you lay eyes on the guy, it's like, wow, that looks like a football player, right? Talk about what you think Coach Orlando and this defense can do for number 90 this year. How good do you think he can be by the end of 18?
Oh, wow. I think it starts with Yancey McKnight and what he's been able to do in terms of improving his strength and hip mobility and explosiveness. But I think, you know, Charles is very versatile. You know, he's a guy that can play on the edge in a four-down front. He's a guy that can play head up the tackle in a three-man front and wreak some havoc in the B-gap as well. And so that's going to be the biggest thing for him. Somebody asked me that at Media Days yesterday as well, like, what does he need to improve on? And the only thing I could think of, he got so much better as the year progressed defending the run. We know he's a tremendous pass rusher, but to be an every down player, you got to defend the run too, and he got better. Is there still a little ways to go there? Certainly, and he knows that. And so that's what I think the biggest thing is, develop his ability in the run game, but then also kind of turn them loose on the edge when the time is right.
Yep. What are some concerns or maybe some things you want to get accomplished defensively as you head into summer camp?
Well, we got to figure out a way to get these young guys on the field. They're extremely talented, especially the three that were here, four that were here early in Deli Adeoye, Anthony Cook, B.J. Foster, Caden Stearns. They did not look out of place at all for guys that are supposed to be picking out tuxedos for the senior prom, you know. And so we got to figure out a way to get those guys on the field without disrupting chemistry and flow of game. So I think that's I don't, challenge is not the right word, but maybe it is. We've got to be very strategic about it, and it's going to take some thought and some planning. Other than that, you know, we got to find somebody, whether it's Chris Nelson or Puna. it's a combination of Chris Nelson and Gerald Wilbon, somebody to come close at least. Are we going to be, you know, are we expecting those guys to be Puna Ford? No. But if we can get close to the production that Puna had at that position, that's a big goal of ours going into fall camp.
I do like how you didn't pull the, oh, no, they're young. Sometimes you'll see five-star guys who do come in the spring and they kick ass and they're doing well, and the coach goes, I don't know, but you're saying right now, though, these guys need to be on the field.
They do. Okay. Yeah, they proved that, and I would imagine there's some that just got here in June as well that are going to need to see the field too. So that's going to be the biggest thing, is to make sure that the line that you cross it or walk is, you know, you want continuity, you want consistency, but you also want your best guys on the field in every given situation too. So that'll be a pretty good chess match for both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and a lot of seniors, Chad, on that defense. I look at the starters and then those freshmen coming in. It's going to be a mix of classes.
If you're good enough, you're old enough.
Right.
Tom Herman joining us here on the Horn. At the bowl game, in the post game, Brecken Hager, as always, great to the press, but he talked about it being a crossroads moment. He talked about you winning the locker room in the bowl game. And I just wanted to know from you, did you have that same feeling? Or when you heard him say that, did you think, wait a minute, I already thought I had him. I already thought there was a moment. Like, was there a big moment in that locker room?
No, I think they won themselves. I think we stayed the same. We didn't change. I think, but there was, it wasn't just winning the game, right? It was, by my count, we had eight guys that had started football games that didn't play in that game. They were either suspended, they chose not to play, or they were injured. So that's 8 out of 22. So that's over a third,
right,
of guys that didn't start. We were playing an SEC team, the SEC, you know. We're playing the SEC team that had won six straight games and was on fire, and we beat them 33-16 or whatever it was. And so I think it was all of those things that kind of culminated and said, hey, hang on. We finally kind of let our shield down, let our guard down a little bit. We let these guys coach us. We had fun. We worked our tails off in bowl prep. We didn't change. We still worked as hard as we did. We just made a conscious effort to have fun doing it, and then we showed up and did that. Like, holy cow! I think maybe this guy's onto something.
Yeah,
you know, maybe this guy and his staff they're onto something.
Yeah, and it was great to see, and I think a surprise to a lot of people. The offensive line, you talked about the personnel. There's no doubt that was very, very bad luck, and you came into a personnel drought, if you will, in terms of the offensive line. Mikey Grandy is a guy we've been asked about as we're interviewing here with you right now. Is a guy who had the concussion in the spring. Is he going to be available? And any other guys you can tell us about who may be ready to go who we don't know about yet?
Everybody will be cleared. Everybody is cleared. There's a few limitations just from continuing to rehab, like a Trey Watson is still – he's cleared to do everything, but from some minor limitations, but should be cleared when we start training camp. The same with Cade Brewer. He's just a couple minor modifications. Got to watch his rep count. And unfortunately, Mikey Grandy is medically disqualified.
Okay.
The doctor said, you know, it's not smart for you to try to continue to play football. So he's going to continue here at the University of Texas, get his degree on scholarship, and we wish him the best of luck.
Coach, before we let you go to take more selfies, a silly one from me. I heard you tell Craig about this retreat that the coaches are doing coming up. You guys go on the retreat, we're all about food on this show. What is the food that you cannot wait to get on at this retreat? What are you looking forward to?
The fajitas. Yeah, and don't ask me where they're from. We're blessed enough to have Bill Duvall donate his ranch on Lake Austin for 2 days.
So how do you build your fajita? Let's go through this. We talking beef chicken? You a shrimp guy? How do you go about it?
I'm a steak fajita guy all the way,
okay.
Cheese, lettuce, salsa, and then depending on the guacamole.
Whoa, no sour cream, though.
No sour cream.
No sour cream.
What do you need?
Is that the Cali in you?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. What do you need to see from that guacamole? What draws you to the guacamole?
I like jalapenos and cilantro.
Nice.
I think cilantro is the most underrated herb in the history of herbs.
Wow.
Wow, you do?
Wow.
Now, cilantro,
yes.
You would agree cilantro is love or hate. There is no in the middle because it's licorice-y to some people.
I don't know because I love it.
You love it?
You're a lover.
You can't imagine anyone not loving it. Coach,
That's
we
awesome.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All
have
right.
a good time here. And
thank you so much.
Get your selfie
Thanks.
On, all right?
Thanks, guys.
Thank
Welcome.
You.
That's Tom Herman. It's the Tom Herman meet and greet, so he's about to go take some selfies and shake some hands and say hi to some folks, some of our great partners here at the station. Coming up, we'll get you the big three, including Kawhi Leonard's new home, and is he happy about it or not? This is The Horn. All right, Chad and Kevin with you here from the Tom Herman meet and greet. We got a chance to talk to the coach, and now the folks that are here are getting a chance to talk to the coach. He's talking on the microphone, so you're going to kind of hear that in the background. But people are asking their questions, and Tom Herman's going to answer those as we roll on. If you're just jumping in and you have not caught up with the world of sports today, why don't we get you a quick big three and get you covered, because there's a couple big stories out there.
The big three.
All right, the big story of the day that's already been out there is Kawhi Leonard. He's going to the Toronto Raptors. It is a deal that has now been done, taken care of. It's done. It's official. DeMar DeRozan will go the other way along with, will come to San Antonio along with Jakob Poeltl and a protected 2019 pick. Kawhi and Danny Green, unfortunately, Kevin, for a lot of Spurs fans, go the other way. I know a lot of Spurs fans really dig Danny Green. You talk about buying into a system, becoming a guy they could count on.
System guy.
Yeah.
Play some defense, three-point shooter. When he was playing well, he definitely in that system was a guy that you like, and we were able to meet him. You met him a couple times and interview him. And
Good dude.
Comes off as a really good dude.
So he's tweeted out today he's looking forward to his next chapter in Toronto. The other big story of the day apparently is just happening in the last few minutes. Earlier in the day, there was talk about the Manny Machado deal not falling through, but just a little bit of a stop because the Orioles wanted to double-check on a physical. Apparently, Kevin, that's taken care of. Now, multiple reports are saying Machado has been traded to the Dodgers, hit a little bit of an earlier snag today. The issue not related to double-A outfielder Yusnil Diaz.
Okay.
He's the centerpiece of the deal. He was not the issue.
Okay.
But now, apparently, the Orioles folks are happy enough, and they've wiped the tears about loving Manny, and now they're ready to go.
Okay, I will believe it when I see him in a Dodgers uniform, because as we talked about earlier, there are two things with the Orioles. The Orioles are the toughest people to actually complete a trade with.
Right.
One, because they are the strictest with the medicals, and they want to make sure that everyone's 100% healthy, and they can find stuff that no one else can and be like, well, I think his arm's going to blow out in 10 years. Well, you know, he's not going to have him in 10 years. Well, I just think that. Do you have any medicals to show that? No, but I think that.
Nope.
And then you've got Peter Angelos, the owner, who would just, he's a billionaire, so he can do what he wants, would just go, no, I love him. I'm going to play fan today.
Right.
We're not trading him. So they got through the medical part. Let's see if they can get through the last second Peter Angelos. Hopefully they didn't tell him. They just sent him off to like some crab cake place and said,
yeah, right.
All right, we'll give you news later.
I've never actually had this thought, much less said it on the air, but you just made me have this thought. Boy, I'm glad Jerry Jones isn't a baseball owner. Can you imagine what his love would for players would do?
I kind of figured there'd be some times when,
ooh.
I mean, early on I thought, well, he may buy the Rangers, right?
Yeah, you're right. No, that's a good point. All right, and also obviously a lot of football stuff out there. One more quick baseball note. Josh Hader going to have to do sensitivity training. Somebody went back and dug up tweets from 7 years ago, which is unfair. The tweets are also not great.
No, they're not great.
They're not great at all.
No, actually, they're awful.
A couple of them are really bad.
Moral is, kids, don't be a hater.
Try not to do that. If you are a hater, maybe don't tweet about it.
No, don't tweet how much you are a hater.
Especially if you've got serious velo and serious movement on your pitches.
You know, the sad thing about him being that type of guy is the lettuce is so good.
Great hair.
Like, I wanted to be able to root for Josh Hader.
I know. Great.
And look, maybe he has turned it around. I mean, I think there's people that are racist, misogynist, and lack scope And some of that can be age. Some of that can be environment. This is all I've known. I'm 17. These are the parents that I was raised with. This is what I heard. That was okay in my household. That was norm in my household. Yeah. Oh, you grow up, and the best thing every single person should do, if you're driving around right now, please do something, especially if you're a kid or if you're the parent. Every single parent is full of it to some degree, and they're not 100% correct. Once you realize that both your parents are as full of it as every other parent, that's a liberating feeling as a human being, and a good one. You're going in the right direction at that point.
The other thing with him...
Parents turning off the radio right now.
This is not our show anymore, but... The other thing with him growing up and hopefully developing in a sport that is as worldly as baseball
is. Yes, agreed.
Guys from all over the planet are playing baseball. I don't know necessarily if the baseball culture helps him with the anti-gay stuff, with the homophobic stuff.
Probably not.
But in terms of the things that sounded a little racial and all of that, hopefully he's dealt with a lot of that. But baseball will make him go through a little bit.
Yeah, you're saying the misogyny and the homophobic rhetoric is okay in that sport. But yeah
baseball locker room may not help with that.
Hopefully
it helps on the racial
and
side.
And by the way, kiddos, your parents, I'm not saying don't listen to everything, but don't think that they're 100% right either, because they're not. They're human.
Right. Unless you're, of course, talking to my child. In which case, mom is perfect. And
Dad's pretty close.
Yeah, darn close.
Dad's
I like that. Also, we talked some college football today, of course. We're here at the Tom Herman meet and greet. Larry Fedora with some interesting comments today on football, where it's headed, where it's going, kind of saying that he doesn't really see the connection with CTE and football. I don't think I would have advised that one. But he says that we may lose college football, and then we'll lose our entire country. The country will just go completely to hell at that point.
Yeah, I wouldn't stay away from facts like oh, there's no connection, because there is a connection. What you can do is say, okay, at some point we need to make a decision. And the decision will be, we know what it is. We've tried to make it as safe as possible. Do we completely change the sport, or do we keep the sport and say, hey, like other things in life, this is dangerous.
Right, like a cliff diver would tell you.
Right.
You're diving off a cliff.
Yeah.
Understand what it is.
Who's your guy got eaten by or got stung to death?
No, Steve Irwin.
Yeah, Steve Irwin, right. I mean, he was going down with one of those at some point, and one of the reasons I don't have, crocodile tears. That's wrong. That would be wrong.
God, you were setting that up.
That
felt like you cooked that
up. I know, but
your
I didn't.
Your eyes just started gleaming.
But that was going to happen at some point. He knew the danger.
He
signed the waiver.
Statistically speaking, if you do something for your job, for entertainment or whatever, that is that dangerous, the chances are, that may be how you go.
Right.
Yeah. So Larry Fedora had his comments today. Nick Saban blaming the media for the quarterback controversy, which may be the funniest thing we'll hear all year long.
So the media just created that out of thin air.
Did you not know that Pat Forty put Tua in the game? I didn't realize that.
I was wondering who made that call.
By the way, big shout out to, I think it was Forty who asked it. Somebody tweeted out, Pat Forty just asked Nick Saban if he thinks Jalen Hurts is on his roster at the end of the year or at the middle of the year or something like that. And they said, how about that for a quarterback question? I still haven't even heard his answer.
That's great. I got to hear that.
But what a great question.
You are right, though. This is also spread out that really tonight I'm going to have to go back and look at ACC, SEC stuff.
I know. I need them spread out. I need everybody to agree that one conference has to end before the next one starts. Tom Herman done with his comments and question and answer. Now he's going to work his way around the room and say hi to folks. We got the Texas Bowl trophy here at DKR. So give me a thought or two on Coach Herman's comments with us. Anything really jump out?
The Grandy stuff actually is big. I got to give Jeff Howe some love. Jeff said, hey, do you mind throwing that in there? We forgot to ask that. And I forgot about it too, and I thought, yeah, let's find out who's healthy, who's not. I like the honesty with the freshmen, like I told them. I mean, we've seen coaches go the other way on that, those guys are going to play. They're going to come in and play pretty quickly. All in all, he just, I don't want to psychoanalyze too much, but he feels pretty comfortable. He looked comfortable. Now, he just got off vacation.
He did. He's tan. He's rested. He's ready to go.
Clearly gets his bicep and tricep day in.
He's definitely in good shape.
Yeah.
Definitely in good shape.
He's not skipping any of that.
I also respect his fajita game. I do respect the fajita game.
Yeah.
Beef fajita guy.
I'm not a huge cilantro guy, but I like anyone with that one. You can't tell me you're okay with it. You either got to say, I love it,
right,
or you're like me and go, no, it's licorice.
Yeah, see, I'm with him. I'm more on the like it side. I just like the fact that he wants it in his guacamole.
Yeah.
Jalapeno and cilantro inside the guacamole. That's hardcore right there.
Yeah, he looks like he's ready for year number two, and he's gotta be really confident, not only with what they're doing. He talked about McKnight and what they're able to do with strength and conditioning, and we didn't ask him about that because we obviously heard a lot about that at Big 12 Media Days and some of the jumps that guys have had, but also with recruiting. I mean, and that's probably where A&M fans feel good right now. You don't feel good necessarily about year one and what the hell are we going to see, but it is the overview. It is,
what are you building?
Are you building?
Yeah, I enjoyed the comment on Shane Buechel. I wanted to get him to flesh that out a little bit, and interesting, he immediately went to Braxton Miller, a guy that, because I do think there's a part of me that says, wait a minute, if you're not vocal, how do you ultimately teach it? But it's also this, I've heard players talk about it, like they know that when the beginning of their career, it's not their time yet, that there's a certain amount of time where you have to let it go by. I've heard people tell stories of Vince Young coming in and Vince not feeling comfortable being a vocal leader. Not because he couldn't do it. It's because he knew the seniors ran the team.
Right.
It was their team. Yeah. He had to wait for a group to go. So I wonder if there's a little bit of that with Shane Buechel, too, learning about how and when and why to really engage and be a vocal leader. That was interesting stuff to me, because at some point, even if you started Sam Ehlinger, we know there's a chance that you might need Shane Buechel and you want him to be that leader. I love that answer because he was talking about all the little details, not just talk, but an audible here, a comment there.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
They got to be able to follow you, and you got to be able to know all those little nuts and bolts that you have to do.
And then the other thing, the stuff that we can see that you can't see, and maybe he, you know, just is that good of an actor. I don't get that sense with him, but that when I asked him about Sam, has it slowed down? Oh, yeah, yes.
Right.
That's one where I figured it would, but I want to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's the thing. And I love, and also the comment about, I mean, when, if you haven't heard, there's stories the last couple of days about he and Brecken Hager are telling this, we didn't have him tell it here, but this story from the Oklahoma State game. Have you heard this whole thing yet?
A little bit, but not really.
So he,
in pieces.
Brecken talked about going into that game, kind of lost, not happy with what was going on, feeling like he hadn't eaten for 40 days, and then he got a chance to get some meat. And that's that game where things really started to work, the lightning package, more DBs unleashing him around the edge and stuff. So what Herman said is that during the game, he gets like a sack or whatever, and he said they hadn't talked for a long time.
Right.
They had a relationship of like, hey, I'm not going to talk to you, you're not going to talk to me. Yeah, whatever. They really didn't get along that well. He says Brecken comes off the field after the sack, Herman gives him a little low five, and it was the first time he'd done that in a while. And he said Brecken stopped, stared him right in the face, and said, yeah, coach, I'm so sorry. And he's like, what are you sorry for? He looks out on the field. Is there a flag? Did he miss something? And Brecken says, I'm so sorry for being an a-hole, and then walked away. And he said they've been great ever since.
Wow.
So that's why I asked him about Brecken and the bowl game, because those little moments.
Guys, we can do that. We got a lot of downfalls, but guys seem to be able to do that maybe a little easier. Where we don't need to sit there and go through everything and explanations and feelings. It is what it is. Let's move on.
Hash it out.
Let's move on.
Let's go. Yeah. So it was great to talk with Coach Herman, as always.
And it usually involves one of us calling ourselves an a-hole.
Yeah, right.
Usually some swearing in there.
A lot of times. If you want to hear that again, once we get everything podcasted today, hornfm.com, and hour number four, we'll start with that Tom Herman interview. We need to work in a little one and done here. My bad. We've been babbling on and on and on. I am so sorry.
I think I'm the one babbling, so it's...
Well, that's probably fair.
I'm the one taking out my own segment.
Before we do that, let me tell you about Harry's Razors. I did shave today. Nice, close, Harry shave. Did you work a little bit? Oh, okay. You manicured the beard.
I never manicure or clean this up, but you did Harry's.
Look at you. Very good. If you want to get started with Harry's, you've heard me talk about it for so long. Kevin's into the Harry's razors. Doc Hastings, my dad, uses them. Sacamano started using them when he's not growing that crazy beard out himself. You can get started for $3 plus free shipping. Remember, the cartridges are just $2 each, less than half the price of Gillette Fusion Pro Shield. Plus, they're going to last you probably longer than what you're using now. One cartridge lasts me about a month. You may be a little different there. Figure out your particular shaving. For a limited time only, special offer just for listeners of the show, $5 off the shave set with the code ChadH at Harry's.com. So you'll get that five-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use the code ChadH at Harry's.com. Join the millions of guys who've already switched. Go to Harry's.com. Use the code ChadH to claim your offer. All right, let's get you a little one and done here, kids.
It's one and done. Mm. With Bob Dunson. That's
boom,
one
boom.
And done.
Road game.
With Bob Dunson. That's one and done. With Bob Dunson.
One and done.
I am not often in a bad mood. But if I'm ever in a bad mood, all you have to do is say, Robert K. Dunn, and I'll be in a better mood.
Robert K.
Every time I enjoy it.
I think Bob enjoys it.
Does he? Do you do that to him every once in a while?
No, not really, but I think he enjoys the feedback he gets. He'll run into people and be like, hey, are you the Bob Dunn?
Are you Bob
yeah,
Dunn?
Yeah, I'm that Bob Dunn.
Damn right. Brought to you by Texas Card House, Austin's premier poker club, featuring tournaments and cash games 7 days a week starting at noon, now with Rudy's catered in on Saturday nights. They're at Texas Card House. com. Here's Kevin Dunn.
I don't know what I really think about the Dodgers getting Manny Machado, but it's better than the Red Sox or the Yankees getting him, right? and really, I mean, I would love for him to be with the Cubs, but I'm not sure that's exactly the direction we need to go right now. The Dodgers make sense. I thought it would be either Philadelphia or the Dodgers. The Philly connection makes a lot of sense for me because they've got some cap space opening up to where I think they can probably not have to pay too much on the luxury tax, still get close to what he's looking for. And the Philly people, Andy McPhail, the GM, used to be the Cubs GM, used to be the Orioles GM, whenever all those guys, people around him, drafted and developed Manny Machado. So Philadelphia could still be the spot for next year. But, Chad, this is a big get for L.A. right now. Let's not forget who the Dodgers lost. I know we talk about Max Muncy and Matt Kemp and some of the surprise stuff this year, but Corey Seager's out for the year. Remember?
Yep.
He's out for the year.
I'd forgotten it until they said it last night.
And it's easy to forget it because it happened pretty early on, and all of a sudden you think, oh, where's that guy, that left-hander who's a badass and one of the best young shortstops in the game? Well, you bring Machado over. Hopefully Seager can stay at shortstop if Machado resigns, and Machado will make the right move and move to third base. His metrics show he needs to be at third base, but this is a big get for the Dodgers in a wide-open NL West. There are four teams that could win this.
Manny Machado, apparently it is done now. They've figured out all the physicals. They've got it all dealt with. He's going from orange to blue. That's a huge color scheme change.
It is.
I hope he's ready for what's happening, about to happen in his closet, because there's no way to hide that one.
Oh, it's going to be – that's Del Conte to UT.
Exactly. That's right. Purple to orange.
Purple to orange.
It's the same kind of thing, right?
Oh, ballpark's going to change. Different league, different pitchers. This is going to be new. I mean – it's going to be fresh for him. I'll be curious if he can go in there. And really, the most impressive thing for Manny Machado for me this year are the numbers he's been able to put up with all the pressure. And he doesn't know if he's going to be there day in and day out. And the guy's still hitting, what is he, in 300 with 20 bombs?
Right. Yeah, that's true. Manny Machado going to be a Dodger. And Kawhi Leonard is going to be a Toronto Raptor. Coming up, we'll give you some of Greg Popovich's comments on Kawhi Leonard. He's already been asked. He's already made a comment. And it was very Popovich. We'll give you that before we get out of here at the Tom Herman meet and greet. Wrapping it up on the Horn.
There you go, Brian. I like it.
What a great track. At the time,
yay, come on.
Remember the video?
Yes.
Man, at the time it came out, I didn't know exactly what I was getting into with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, but
you knew it was good.
They turned into such a great MTV band. They were ugly as sin, but it didn't matter because they made great videos. They were so good. And this is the first song I ever heard from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Wow.
Loved it. Loved the video. And then and this video got played 700 times a day.
Yeah, yes, it did.
They didn't have enough videos. It was fantastic.
Did Take On Me, was that played more or this?
Well, probably Take On Me by A-ha was played a little more. But this one got heavy rotation.
Because they were a good-looking video band.
Correct.
Right?
That's a prettier group, right? That's prettier.
Yeah, pretty's a good way to put that.
Tom Petty is an acquired taste both with the voice and the face, because Tom was not an attractive man. God rest his soul. Can't believe we lost Tom Petty.
Well, that's a good thing I don't listen to music through my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so here's your Greg Popovich comments. He was asked about Kawhi Leonard. Of course, he's the coach of the U.S. team, so I guess they're getting ready for that. He says, quote, We talked often over the summer about a lot of different things, both on and off the court. So attempts were made to see what would be best at the end. In the end, this trade appeared, and we felt this was the way to go. Says, at this point, my main interest is definitely not to look back. It doesn't do us any good whatsoever. I'm thrilled to have DeMar and Jacob join us. From that point on, that is where my focus will be. I'm not too interested in talking about the past. I don't even want to talk about Tim Duncan. That is
Greg Popovich. That's a good pop line right there.
That
man.
Is well done. One other quick quote here. He says, Kawhi conducted himself wonderfully while he was here. He helped us win a fifth championship. He was a hard worker all the time. We wish him well, but at this point, it's time to move on. I'm concerned about Jacob and DeMar and our basketball team and putting that together. Also, Kevin, there's still a report out
there.
That's
a classy way to go.
That is classy.
What the NFL should do with T.O.
Yeah, and there's also a report out there that he still might show up next week to the USA basketball camp, which Pop would be running.
Well, I think it'd be easier now.
Yeah, right.
Now it's easier to run into at this party when we got divorced 2 years ago.
Yeah,
during the split, it's kind of weird.
Now that you've made the clean break.
Yeah, clean break. We are legally done.
Right. Now, I think that's probably...
Staring at her the whole time as this show's been going on has been odd. But, hell, you never even knew I was married.
That is true. That's a good point. You're going to have to introduce me to her whenever we get done.
I'm serious. When Bucky really opened my eyes today, Bucky opened my eyes to what married life could be. That's a...
Now
that's a really good setup.
To be fair, Bucky,
it's not permanent.
Bucky did say they're working their way towards living together, but at this moment they don't live together.
That makes complete sense. There shouldn't at least 25%, maybe at least okay, at least 10%, and then up to 25% of married couples shouldn't be living together. You guys barely are anyway. A lot of y'all.
I need to
ships passing in the night. Giving each other bad looks and just years of pent-up frustration coming out in passive-aggressive style.
At some point, I need to introduce you to one of my wife's friends who I think might have your perfect relationship. She is devoted.
So she's a lesbian.
No. She's devoted to one man. She and that man have been together for, it's 15, 20 years, somewhere around there. They are not married. They don't intend to get married. And they live at least 2 to 3 hours apart.
Mm.
He lives in a whole another town, another, you know,
how often
zip
do they see
code.
Each other?
They see each other every couple weeks.
Do you have to talk every night?
I don't know the rules on that. I'll introduce you to
how
her.
How was your day today?
How was your day today? I'll introduce you to her and you can find out.
Okay.
But somewhere between Bucky and her, I think they may have your perfect relationship.
Whatever woman, because I know there is one at her work that is plotting to destroy her life and take her job and ruin her whole world. Do I have to hear about that woman every single day for 3 hours?
Ooh, maybe. Okay. I don't know. I don't know the rules on that.
Yeah, I don't think I can change this up too much, can I?
That's true. What was the time on that, Brian?
2 minutes.
Is that two? All right, let's go one last thing here.
One last thing.
Pittman! All right, we got to talk to the head coach today. Any more Texas football you want to throw out before the show's done?
That was pretty good stuff right there. It was good stuff. So Mikey Grandy is not going to play. So he is done, and we need as many bodies on this offensive line as we can get. I'm not sure how big of a part he would have played, but I want bodies, Chad. We need as many bodies. We ain't there yet until I see it.
He also mentioned Andrew Beck being his best blocking tight end last year. I find it interesting that Derek Wareheim, everybody's kind of forgotten about him. He goes to the tight end job, so you would think that the tight ends will be able to block really well because he's been an offensive line coach.
Right.
But then what I'm wondering is, where does the receiving part come in for him? How good is he coaching the receiving part of tight end?
That's a good question. Also, one thing I took out, you kind of slipped it in there. You guys hear him say that Elijah Rodriguez was the best run blocker for Texas last year? He said he's the best overall lineman.
I kind of missed that.
But I like that because, Elijah's back this year, is he not?
That is true. That is true. Elijah Rodriguez. Phil Steele says he's the right guard. We'll see. Senior year for Elijah Rodriguez. All right, thanks to everybody who made it possible today. Thanks to Rodney on this end. Thanks to our man Cameron who's hanging out. Thanks to Tom Herman. Thanks to John Bianco and the SID staff. Thanks to everybody here at UT, Christina, Leslie, our group as well. And thanks to Brian Fitzgerald back in the studio for producing a great 3 days. We hope it was a great 3 days of radio. We'll be back in the studio tomorrow for Thursday talking more football as we get closer to Texas and Maryland. Everybody have a great night. Fight night and sports guys talking wrestling coming up right now. See ya!
Night, Chuck and Joaquin.